up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and it's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives. It's me, your host, Ashley Burgess, and we're joined tonight with Dr. George Holden. George Holden, he's a professor of psychology at SMU. George, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, thanks.
So my first question, and I think a lot of people, I know that most of our listeners are interested in this, is what do we think about James psychologically so far? Is there anything that we can kind of get into his psyche and understand what's going on?
Well, at this point, it's really premature, and I've certainly read the newspaper reports and looked at some televised accounts of what we know about James, and at this point, not a lot. He's been described with adjectives such as awkward, a little nerdy, shy, quiet, but also nice, not a loner, very bright. So in terms of, we don't have a lot of objective facts about him at this point. So we can only kind of speculate about how he could have done such a horrendous deed.
I know, you know, in your expertise, you see or study this a lot as well. What causes this behavior in an individual?
Well, it can be lots of different things. Typically, much more common if the individual had a very difficult, abusive childhood, then he or she would be more prone to this kind of behavior. But it doesn't appear that that was the case with James. Here he came from a upper middle class family, and his neighbors from his home in California reported that he was a very nice and normal kind of child. What we do know is that he did drop out of graduate school, which probably resulted in a lot of depression and kind of dashed dreams for this bright kid. And for some reason, he then turned that into this this evil deed that he did.
Do we know yet why he was dropping out of graduate school?
The only thing I read is he didn't perform well in one or more classes. He was in a neuroscience graduate program, which is probably pretty demanding. And he wasn't apparently in one or more classes, didn't perform well. So he wasn't asked to leave. He decided to drop out on his own. We just don't know much about him at this point. We don't know that much about his background. We don't know whether he was bullied in school or what else was going on that could have contributed to his mental illness. And he's certainly, you know, very disturbed individual.
A lot of people have asked the question, like you said, was he bullied? Could it have been family violence? Could it have been violent content? Could it have been sexual perversion? Quite honestly, and some people even ask the fact is that can he be born in a psychotic manner? Is there a way that people can be born kind of chemically like this? I mean, is there any sort of reality to that? Or do we just have to wait to find out? Or are we going to be able to find out any of this information?
Well, he will certainly undergo a lot of psychological assessment and testing in prison. And so I think we will, over the next few months, get a much better understanding of him and what may have been driving his behavior. But individuals are never born to act like this, even though individuals can have sort of physiological or biological propensities to have certain mental health problems. It's really an interaction of that and the environment that they're in. So no one is predestined to be a murderer or to turn out in a certain way. The environment and culture that they are exposed to plays a big role.
It's interesting, too, the way that the news has covered the family and how the family, for obvious reasons, I guess, would like to have some privacy at this time. But she, I believe, also, I'm not sure, James, if it was you or somebody told me that she was quick to say that he was the person that had killed these people or basically agreed to that.
Well, that's just what I had heard on the news one day, and it's probably changed since then, since it was such an evolving story at the time.
So you don't believe that the family, or we don't know at this time if the family, if there could have been some abuse. I know that they're a middle class or upper middle class, but I've known people that have been abused. It doesn't matter how much money there is.
Well, that's true. Child maltreatment occurs in across the social spectrum. It's really too early to say whether that could have played a role.
Was there any history? I guess we don't know if there was any history in animal abuse at all or animal, you know, killings prior to this by him.
I have not heard of any, but that if it was, that certainly is a red flag for very disturbed behavior and a very sick individual, if there is any kind of history of animal abuse.
If there is any type of animal abuse in a situation, not involving this situation, but in the future, what should people do? I mean, that's kind of a cry for help, correct?
Well, it's often beyond that. But what parents would need to do would be get their child to a psychologist, get some mental health counseling and help immediately, because that's a very serious indicator of on the pathway to very delinquent and antisocial behavior. If a child engages in any form of animal cruelty.
That's a big thing. And I think that people need to know that kind of stuff, because I don't think people put a lot of, I guess, time and effort, like we were talking about, being nosy and really thinking about what people are doing, especially our loved ones, our kids, our family members, our friends, even our coworkers. And it's really important to really take a stand and to think about these kind of things, especially if we see that, because I think it's been an indicator in several serial killings, serial murderers in the past have been involved with animal cruelty and death.
Right. Well, and I wouldn't use the term nosy, because that has sort of a negative connotation. But I think parents in particular need to be aware of how their child is doing and carefully monitoring how they're doing, because kids, for whatever reason, can get off what I call positive developmental trajectories. They can have negative experiences at school, or could be subjected to some form of abuse by a coach or bullying. And if the parents aren't carefully monitoring their child, then they may miss that, and it'll only get worse for that child. So if parents are, you say nosy, but I call it monitoring and awareness, then they can hopefully deal with that problem and correct it and get the child help before it gets worse.
So constant monitoring and constant awareness in people's lives, especially our children or our loved ones.
Right, yeah.
What about, like, have they thought anything about drugs at all being involved with James? Is there any drugs involved at all?
I haven't read any indications that has played a role. So at this point, I'd say no, it's not, doesn't appear to be a factor.
Because they said, I guess, yesterday that he was in jail or whatever, and he was spitting and all this stuff was going on. And so some people, a couple of my friends that police and SWAT affiliations said that maybe he might be planning his case for being insane to get off on a different plea, but they didn't know. Maybe it could be drugs. Maybe it could even be a brain tumor of any sort.
Possibly, yeah. Again, we just have to wait to see what the investigation reveals.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners in this situation, maybe on how to be maybe mindful or how to really kind of focus with this type of negative impact that's just happened to us as a society?
Well, the only thing I'd like to highlight is this is just yet another example of the fact that we live in a culture of violence. There was an article in the paper today in the Dallas Morning News about road rage and how Dallas and Tarrant counties have the state's highest rate of road rage. And that's another sort of indication of how our culture is increasingly violent and aggressive. And I think everyone needs to be concerned about this and think about ways that we can ramp down this violence and aggressiveness.
I agree with that.
Yeah, basically, but what would be a suggestion for how to, like, stop this type of violence in this kind of, like, escalation of it? I mean, obviously there's no easy answer, but what would be some suggestions you would have?
Well, I mean, look at where we have violence. And so we have violence in the home in lots of different forms. I would submit to you one form of violence that many children are subjected to is corporal punishment. And that's a topic maybe of another show, but that's, in my view, a problem in American homes.
You mean the corporal punishment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's certainly violence in the media. There's too much violence in sports.
Right.
The death penalty is another indication that we have a violent society. And there's plenty of evidence that that's not an effective deterrent. But again, that's probably the topic of another show.
That sounds like a great topic for another show.
So I think, one needs to look at where we have violence in our society. Bullying in schools would be another example. And then we need to develop strategies to try to reduce that and make our society a more loving and kind society.
Yeah, in fact, I've got a question. Do you think it's more just like a U.S. problem? Because, compared to some countries like Japan, obviously we have a lot higher murder rate in per capita and whatnot. Or do you think it's just a worldwide cultural type problem?
In general, I think there's plenty of evidence that there's lots of violence all around the world. Certainly in the area I'm most familiar with, child maltreatment, there's just, shocking rates all over the globe.
But what do you think makes the difference between some? I mean, there are countries that seem to have less violence than others. And I mean, what do you think causes that, or what the causal facts for that?
Well, the U.S. has the best statistics. So mm-hmm. many other countries, even though we may think they have lower rates, it's partly because we don't really know, and they don't keep such good rates. But there's certainly various factors, such as we know that violence comes from stress on individuals and economic problems. We know that violence can emerge when individuals don't get psychological help that they need and medication. So there's, a variety of reasons why some cultures have higher rates than others.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely all makes sense. I mean, you made up some very valid points.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Dr. Holden. I'd like to have you back on a show in the future about corporal punishment.
And, okay, sure.
And thank you so much for your words of wisdom. Appreciate you being on.
Okay.
Hey, you have a great night.
Okay.
Okay, and wait for us. We'll be right back with Perspectives. We're going to take a few-minute break, and we'll come right back to talk to you about how you can actually be safe, follow the right thing, and make sure you're in the right place at the right time, or at least get yourself out of the wrong place at the wrong time. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.